Hello, I'm Ilya Kramer, the lead developer for the Web Recorder project, and I'm going to talk about our Old Web Today system, which is a browser-based emulation system. I'll talk about how to keep retro websites available on their modern web, and that includes Flash and some other things as well. So a little bit about the Web Recorder project first. So what is Web Recorder? Well, our focus is on building free and open source web archiving tools and making it as easy as possible to capture and replay high fidelity web archives. So archiving websites as accurately as possible and playing them back as accurately as possible. We also have some other goals, integration with existing archival systems, support for decentralized web archiving, including exploring the intersection of web archiving and software emulation. And that's where the Old Web Today system fits in. And our goal is really to make it as easy as possible for anyone to create, use, and share web archives. And our motto is web archiving for all. And so a little bit about Old Web Today. So the idea is to be able to browse old websites with old browsers. The original version was launched in 2015. With emulators running in Docker containers, that version is still available at the classic that we'll about today, but requires infrastructure and means, and it actually uses an obsolete version of Docker. The latest version of Old Web Today, which is what I'm going to show today, was launched in early 2021, and it is entirely client-side emulation. All emulators run in the native browser, in the user's browser itself, and hopefully this will improve as WebAssembly and JavaScript emulation technology improves. That's a screenshot of Old Web Today, and now I'm going to do a quick demo of how it actually works. So here we have Old Web Today loaded in my Chrome browser, and inside you can see there's Netscape 3 running. And it's connected to it's loading loaded GeoCities from 1996 using data from the Internet Archive. And so this is actually interactive, so I can click around here, so I can click on another link and hopefully that will load. I can go back. I can even change the date here and once I do that, I can actually reload. I can reload the home page and it will load a different version of. Oh, looks like there's a JavaScript error here. I can also try switching to a different browser. Let's try Netscape 4. And so every time I change the browser, it reloads the emulation environment from scratch. In this case, it is running Netscape 4 in Mac OS, I believe System 7. And oh, for some reason that did not work. Occasionally, this is as you can see, occasionally there are some hiccups. But luckily we can actually reload the page. For some reason, it has been a little bit temperamental lately, so I'll try something else. I think maybe Netscape 4 might not be working as well right now for us, but that's okay. So I'm gonna load. So this is a classic retro site. This is Pepsi.com. You can see kind of from the early 90s. There's all sorts of things here. It's loading in this version of Netscape 3. I can click on. So yeah, let's see if I can. What happens if I click on this link here? Then it loads this page. And again, this is all loading from Internet Archive. So it's also there's a lot of moving parts here. So I'm not sure if this will get us anything else. Click on what's new. And so I can browse the retro web. Using retro browsers. Some other things that we can do is So we can try. So I have a couple URLs that I could try. So here's a here is now we're gonna reload this again, and so this particular page is actually has a Java applet, and this is one of the few sites that are still out there that in fact still have Java, and were actually archived, and many of them are sort of academic websites where they're sort of math and physics related Java applets. And so this is actually running a Java applet here. Let's see if we can look at the Java console. I believe we can. Let's see if it has any information. No, maybe not. Well, I guess it didn't print any messages, but yeah, so that's Java is running on this particular site. So that's one example what we could do with this. Another example is could also probably more use now is probably Flash. So I'm gonna load a so this is a Flash project, and that now we're using this time we're using Windows and IE6, so this is a different emulator. This is using the V86 emulator, and loading the state, so it loaded it restored the state of the emulator as soon as the browser was clicked, so it's able to load much more quickly this way. There's still a little bit of a delay in initialization, and I think the network setup might need some optimization as well. It's also currently loading from the live web on the left here, so you could actually for this example, it's not actually using Internet Archive, it's actually connecting to a website that is still out there that has this particular Flash project, and hopefully it will load fairly soon. And you can also look at sort of this is IE6, so this should have Flash 9 as well as Java 5.0 installed. And that should be sufficient for this particular piece, which I believe is from the, yeah, I think it has from early, from 2001, it looks like. So that should be sufficient, but it takes a little bit of initial loading time here. So we'll just give it a few more seconds to fully load, and if not, we'll just move on. And yeah, as you can see, this is also running Windows 98, so this is a full Windows 98 emulation. And let's see here. So, okay, maybe we'll just move on to something else. So this one doesn't want to load right now. So we'll try. So we also have Ruffle as a emulator for Flash. And so Ruffle does work pretty well and much faster since it's not emulating an entire system, it's just emulating just Flash. And so this loads much quickly, but you don't get the retro browser, you just get the Flash running in Ruffle. And I think this version, some things don't quite work yet. So there are some trade-offs with using REFL, but REFL is also being improved constantly, so that's what will improve. And let's try one other thing here. So here's a let's try this physics flash piece. This is again another example of kind of old academic websites that have some of these old Java and Flash applets that are still that are still out there or were archived. So in this case, we are loading from archive version from 2007, and this is a kind of one of these older Flash projects. We can also try we could also try one of the Linux browsers here. So let's try Opera 12. And the Linux browsers are loading in the disk image is a little bit larger, so they take a bit longer to download. They were built with so it's basically a tiny core Linux distro that was set up with a browser as well as Flash installed. And so we're loading Opera here, and yeah, so we can kind of hopefully it'll load the same as before. And maybe we'll try the other project that did not work in IE6 as well, but maybe we could try it in let's try it in Firefox instead, just to see how that goes. And so yeah, sometimes things don't load in one browser. You could always try it in a different browser, or just reload the page. And also, the goal is to kind of improve the caching, so this loads a bit faster, and kind of optimize disk images. Various optimizations that are obviously possible. And so hopefully this will load here. We'll see how this goes. The old browsers also are able to play MIDI files. I don't have an example with me here right now, but that's one other benefit that of if you do have MIDI files from that were archived or not, they can and other file formats, they can be of course played back. And so I can click on this here, and so this is actually running in Flash 32. And so hopefully the Flash should be, this is sort of the latest release of Flash from Adobe is what's installed here. And so it should ideally work as expected. But there's a trade-off in performance, of course, since it's running inside of an emulator. And so I think with that, I will, yeah, we can kind of talk about more how this system actually works. So let me go back to our slides here. And maybe I'll switch to, I'll just go back to our default here. Old web today, web archives. So that's kind of another key part that I wanted to cover. So what is web archiving? Maybe we'll start from there. It's the process of collecting portions of the World Wide Web and preserving the collections in archival format, and then serving the archives for access and use. That's sort of the official definition from the IEPC, the International Internet Preservation Consortium. And the most well-known web archive out there, of course, is the Internet Archive Wayback Machine, where I was loading a lot of the content that I just demoed. But there are also many other web archives that I wanted to mention, such as the UK Web Archive, the Portuguese Web Archive, cru.pt, and the Icelandic Web Archive. And these are at national libraries at these institutions. And there's also many other institutions that run their own. And how are these web archives accessed? So there's actually sort of a common URL scheme for loading from web archives that I want to very quickly cover. And there's a if you just go to the Wayback Machine, you'll see kind of a custom banner and custom URL rewriting. There's a way to get the original unmodified content using this kind of special form of timestamp followed by the ID modifier followed by URL. And so that allows Old Web Today to just plug in these values and load web archives directly in this way. A little bit more about the emulators used in Old Web Today. So we have the V86 emulator that's written in JS and WebAssembly, and that's used for the Windows and Linux environments. Then we have Basilisk 2, which is a 68K Mac emulator that was then ported to JavaScript and WebAssembly by James Friend, and I modified it further. This emulator is used for the macOS environments. Then we also have Ruffle, which is used for the flash-only emulation, and that's written in Rust and running in WebAssembly. So here are the supported environments again. This is kind of what we have so far. The disk images were created kind of in each emulator. So I used V86 to via the web interface to prepare the disk image and then export it and also save the state so that can be restored for the emulator for faster loading. That was all possible through the web interface of V86. For Basilisk 2, I just used the desktop version and created disk images that way for each of the Mac browsers. And you can see on the left all of the macOS environments use Basilisk, all the Windows and Linux environments use V86, and then Ruffle is sort of its own setup. I wanted to also cover WebAssembly is great, and WebAssembly and JavaScript emulators are great for the video and audio, that's very well supported. But then the networking part, it turns out, is not so much there yet. And essentially we need a JavaScript/WebAssembly-based TCP/IP stack to support networking, and that is not currently provided in the emulators in order to be able to terminate the TCP connection on the other end. So web archives need to be accessed by HTTP through TCP. V86 supports sending Ethernet frames over a WebSocket, and Basilisk 2 port of JS in JavaScript actually doesn't have any networking support, although Basilisk 2 itself does, and it's possible to get the Ethernet frames out. I wanted to avoid relying on external infrastructure as much as possible, so not having a server that accepts the WebSocket connections. So we need to get from the Ethernet packet to the HTTP web archive somehow. Luckily, there is existing work that I was able to build off of, and that's the EAS proxy created by the folks at the University of Freiburg who work on the emulation as a service project, and they've kind of done a lot of the hard work of actually compiling a TCP stack in WebAssembly and providing wrappers for for sockets that work with native JS streams. So it's a full TCP stack implemented in WebAssembly, and it can terminate the HTTP connection from the emulator in the user's browser, so that the client in the browser connects to a server that's running in WebAssembly. And a little bit more of how that works I'll show in a second. One other thing I wanted to mention. Oh yeah, so kind of the networking setup in a nutshell is sort of these two web workers. The emulator worker sends Ethernet frames to the Pico TCP web worker over a broadcast channel, which processes them as a TCP packet and then passes them to the HTTP server, which then proxies to the live web and then sends the response back. So that's kind of a very approximate explanation. One other thing I wanted to mention is how the changing of the date works, and that works essentially by the home page in the browser is set to this IP address, which basically then redirects to the actual URL that's set in the emulator configuration, and the timestamp is also tracked in the HTTP server proxy. And when the user reloads, it sort of uses the latest version of the timestamp and the URL. Okay, so here is a diagram that sort of covers how the system works. So the emulated browser on the left loads, let's say, geocities.com, then goes to the HTTP proxy on the 10.0.2.2 IP, which then sends a packet over the broadcast channel to the web worker that's running the Pico TCP IP stack, which then sends which then goes from the web worker or within the web worker, it gets processed as a TCP IP packet and goes to the HTTP server, which receives the packet, then reads the HTTP request. From that, it gets the URL and sends the request to the Wayback Machine or the live website. And then, say the same thing all the way back. It receives a response, sends the TCP packet through the Pico TCP stack, which then becomes an Ethernet frame that is then sent to the emulator in the other web worker, which receives the packet and sends it back to the browser. So there's a lot of moving parts here, and then we saw that occasionally things don't quite work. There's a network error. There's a lot of places where things can go wrong. Let's just put it that way. So there's definitely room for improvement in this system to make it more robust. And kind of the overall flow of this is this is kind of this zoomed out view of the architecture. There's the so what happens in the browser is we have the inputs for the URL, the date, and the toggle of whether we're loading the live site or a web archive, and then that gets connected to the or to the emulator running in the web worker, which also separately controls the canvas. So there's a separate connection there back to the main browser thread that does the rendering. It also communicates with the TCP IP stack in a separate web worker. The emulator also pulls disk images from remote storage, and that's the emulated disk images and save states. And then one other part is that we need a coarse proxy because web archives can't be accessed in the browser from other sites. And yeah, so essentially, there's kind of a separate proxy that's required to load external websites and web archives, and that goes through Cloudflare currently. And that's kind of a very brief overview of the architecture. And so yeah, so what about Flash and Java as well? So as we saw, it is possible to run both Flash and Java because we have these browsers that have Flash and Java and Shockwave even installed. Many Flash products do work. We can support the latest Flash up to 32, but there are still some limitations. So obviously, we only have older browsers, such as Firefox 10 and Opera 12, and that may not be sufficient for projects that were built, say, within the last couple of years. And many Flash and Java projects were just not fully archived. It's very common to kind of find web pages that have Flash and Java embedded, but some of the Swifts and jar files are just missing because they weren't crawled initially. And then there are sort of performance limitations, as you saw, that obviously it can be slow loading Flash and Java occasionally, so it's not as fast as Ruffle. And that kind of brings us to the Ruffle emulator. So that is supported in Old Web Today. Web page loads directly in the native browser, and the emulator is only used for the Flash. Obviously, it's much faster since there's no full OS emulation and no need for custom networking. However, Ruffle is also still in development, and there's not yet full support for Flash, and there may be subtle differences from sort of the official Adobe Flash that's running in the full OS emulation. And of course, you don't get the retro browser, but you do get performance if you're looking for just Flash specifically. So I just wanted to kind of cover in this matrix some of the trade-offs and different ways of supporting Flash in Web Archive. So there's Ruffle, as I just mentioned, which doesn't yet support all Flash, but can run pretty well at full fidelity, speed, video, and audio, and it doesn't require any server-side infrastructure. There's no CPU cost per user. Then there's the Old Web Today JavaScript emulation system. It can support all Flash up to Flash 32, but as we saw, there's not quite the full performance yet, and there's also no cost per user, as it's all client side. And then finally, there's the remote browser approach, which is the oldest approach that we've tried. I didn't cover it this time, as there isn't quite enough time for it. And it can support all Flash, and it can run at full fidelity, since the content is on this, since it's running on the server. But there's also a CPU cost per user, as it's as you have to run a new instance of the container for each user. And Old Web Today covers the first two, Ruffle and the Old Web Today JavaScript emulation. We have a separate system, the PyWB remote browsers, which I'll link to, that covers the other this other approach. I just wanted to end with a few links. There's a blog post about Old Web Today and a link to a few of the repos, including the main Old Web Today repo, and as well as the forks of some of the emulators that I've used. And then there's other web recorder tools that also work with Flash, such as the Docker container-based system, and we have an extension that injects Ruffle and allows for kind of archiving with Flash. Some future work, obviously optimization, adding new environments, making networking more robust, improving rewriting of HTTPS URLs for old browsers that isn't quite always working, supporting additional archives besides Internet Archive that also support the Wayback Machine URL interface, and support for perhaps uploading archives directly and integrating with other web recorder tools. So thank you for listening, and I'd be happy to answer any questions in the time remaining.